Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning, and this is our fifth week of meeting like this online and not being able to meet personally in a sanctuary, and I trust that many of you this morning are having hopefully a peaceful morning. And again, you might be sitting on your couch. Heck, you might even be just kicking back in your bed and watching online or something like that. But I'm going to ask you once again, in the Bible, there's a time when God re-gave his word to the people, to his people. And it said that they stood in respect of God's word being read. And so I'm going to ask wherever you are, if you would just stand as we read the word of the living God, then you can sit down when I speak. So we're going to be in the chapter, the 40th chapter of Isaiah today. And we get to go on a really cool journey this morning. And this is a very special chapter in the pages of Scripture. And I love how it starts out. And so I just want to read the first five verses to get us going this morning. It says, "Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sins has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged place a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Father, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. And Lord, we quiet our hearts before a living God today. We gather here again to worship you in spirit and in truth. We gather again this morning as your people, seeking your voice, seeking your wisdom, seeking, God, your comfort. We pray, God, that you would just meet us here this day and do a work within our hearts. This we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. And for his glory, amen. Now you can go back onto your couch. And this is our first Sunday after Easter. It was an amazing Easter week last week. We are our Good Friday service, we were so excited about. And Easter was just a wonderful time of celebration as we reflected on why Jesus came and who our greatest foe is, which ultimately is death. And just a big shout out to our brother Mike Oden and his family. Mike's dad died of cancer in between Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, and Mike, Jesus has taken amazing care of your father, and big prayers to the whole Oden family, and behold why Christ has come. Our Lord is amazing, and our Lord is awesome. This is the fifth week that we've been doing this, and what a crazy time that we are living in. I have to keep saying that. A historic time. A time in which, for many of us, we'll be telling our grandchildren and maybe even our great-grandchildren about that we are living in the days when the whole world shut down. Interesting days. This last week, I was asking people to give me one word descriptive words. How would you describe this time that we're living in? And I guess I'd like to ask you that this morning. If I could ask you, if you could give me one word descriptive words to describe this time, what would you say? What would you say? How about scary or stressful? Discouraging. One person said paralyzing. I thought that was really well. Shocking. Quite a few people have said it's just lonely. If those are descriptive words, what emotions would you use to describe this time? What emotions are people feeling during this time? like fear. There's a lot of people that are afraid. That's an emotion. Anxiety is on the rise for many. Discouragement. Some people, hopelessness, disbelief, grief. This is a time of grief. Financial grief. Many people are grieving just financial loss. And a lot of people are grieving in physical loss as people have lost loved ones. Someone said anger. I thought that's really good. People are just angry. And it's real hard to know where do you even direct your anger? Where do we direct this anger? Sometimes when I look at emotions, I look at them like a body of water. For me, I'm a what's called a river rat. My dad, he's always taken us to the Colorado River. And as a matter of fact, our family has a jet boat, a 21-foot jet boat that's just beautiful. I just love it so much. And jet skis, and we'll go out to the river. And sometimes I'll camp on our boat at night. And it's so cool just to go to bed on top of a boat and look up at the stars, and then wake up in the middle of the night and you'd see the moon reflecting on the water, and it's majestic. And yet many times I've fell asleep and woke up in a storm, and just waves everywhere and wind and I feel like our emotions sometimes can be like a body of water. They can be very calm or they can be real stormy. And truly, for you and I, we're living in stormy seas. Stormy seas. We always have a couple anchors for our boat, and we always throw them out on angles in order to keep the boat. And I'm so grateful for anchors, because anchors just seem to keep the boat safe, especially in a storm. For myself, the 40th chapter of Isaiah is like an anchor to my soul. For me as a pastor, for me as a person who loves theology, as a theologian to some degree, Isaiah 40 is an anchor for my soul. And I've been saying, reading, praying Isaiah 40 quite a bit. And I thought it would be good for us. Isaiah 40 calms me. Isaiah 40 calms my emotions. Isaiah 40 redirects my mind. And my prayer is that by the end of today, that what the 40th chapter of Isaiah does for me will do for you. So this is how the 40th chapter starts, and I love that God says this. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. I think all of us could use some comfort these days from the Lord God Almighty. I love that this chapter starts with comfort. The prophet Isaiah is a real person that lived 700 years before the birth of Jesus. He lived in Jerusalem. He lived during the times of King Hezekiah. And God instructs his prophet to speak to his people and tell them God desires comfort for them. You see, they had just come through a storm. They had just come through a storm of a foreign army invading their land, which was very scary, the Assyrian Empire. And at verse chapter 39, it speaks. But the 40th chapter is now this time of comfort. This God says, comfort my people. He says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem, proclaim to her that her hard service had been completed, that her sins has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins, because God's judgment of his people has stopped. Then an abrupt change. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up and every mountain hill be made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged place a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. As you hear these words of the 40th chapter of Isaiah, does it bring to your remembrance anything? It should, for all of you that have studied the scriptures in some detail, because in the Gospel of Matthew, in the third chapter, verses 1 through 3, we read 700 years after Isaiah these words. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, that's in the desert, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, has come near. This is he who was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, preparing the way for the, who? For the Lord. Make straight paths for him. 700 years later, John the Baptist comes on the scene, and he's out in the desert along the Jordan River, and people are going out to him from all over the nation of Israel, and they're asking him, are you the Messiah? And he says, no. They say, are you Elijah? He says, no. Well, who are you? He says, I'm Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5. I am the one who prepares the way of Messiah. And if you're going to take notes of me this morning, just take note. Number one, who do the prophecies of the Old Testament book of Isaiah refer to? The person in the ministry of John the Baptist, which happened 700 years later after this was written. John the Baptist says, I am the one who prepares the way for who? People, remember this, the Lord. The Lord God Almighty, according to Isaiah 40. And then, as I read through Isaiah in a quiet time, the 40th chapter, I look at these next verses and I smile in a sense, because in verses 6 through 8, God gives commentary to the faithfulness of humanity. He gives commentary to the people who dwells upon the earth. This is what it says. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people, they're like grass. All people are like grass. And all the faithful, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. In terms of mankind's faithfulness, we all have our moments, says God. Some days we're faithful and some days we're not. One moment our green fields are fine and the flowers are blooming, the next minute the flowers are falling, the petals are falling to the ground and the grass withers. God says we have our moments of faithfulness, where days we are and days we're not. And you know, when you think about that, it's completely true. There are days when you are more faithful to the Lord than others. There are days when you wish you had been more as you say you are. We are fickle, and God gives commentary to that. But God doesn't have his moments of failure. God doesn't have his moments of unfaithfulness. He's always who he is. The word of the Lord endures forever. Forever. God is who he is, and he doesn't change. We have issues, says God. I think that's just a cool commentary. I smile. It's so true. Israel, his people back then, had moments of faithfulness. America, you and I, you name it. We keep going. You who bring good news to Zion, it says, verse 9. Go up on a high mountain. You who brings good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is John the Baptist? Nope. Here is your God. Somebody's coming. God's coming. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power. And he rules with a mighty arm. Power. Power to cast out demons. Power to walk on water, power to raise the dead, power to heal the lame and the sick, power to raise himself from the dead. Jesus says, I lay myself down and I will raise myself up again. Anybody that can bring themselves back from the dead, that's power. We would all agree to that. The resurrection is power. Power. Isaiah says, see, his reward is with him. John the Baptist says, I prepare the way for someone that's coming. And when this person comes, it's the Lord, and he comes with power. This person that comes brings his reward with him, his recompense with him, his payment, accompanies him. This person that comes brings payment. And his recompense accompanies him. It says he tends his flock like a shepherd. This person coming will watch over his people like a shepherd. And he gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He will gently lead those that have young. What is the heart of the person coming in the 40th chapter of Isaiah? What is the heart of the Messiah who is God in the 40th chapter of Isaiah? He's compared to a shepherd who loves and cares for his sheep. 700 years later, Jesus is in Jerusalem teaching, and Jesus says these words, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not, and not the shepherd, and does not own the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd, and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep, runs away, because he's just a hired servant. The wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But Jesus says, but I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father and I lay down my life for my sheep. If you want to take notes this morning, this is fabulous. About whom do we see prophecies in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 40? Note number 2, what we see is the person in the ministry of Jesus Christ, 700 years before he was born. The person of the Messiah, who's God in human flesh, the Son of God, the second person of the triunity of the Godhead. And this person brings good news, means gospel, good news. And what is the good news of Jesus? It's this. I read this verse last week. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ and not counting people's sins against them. What does Jesus come and give you and I? He gives us freedom from the cross. He gives us failures have disappeared. Our shame and guilt before a holy God are taken upon the Lord. Jesus comes and pays for our sins on a cross. As Isaiah 40, 13 chapters later, in Isaiah 53, in great detail, God describes what Jesus will do for us on the cross. This is his payment. This is awesome. For all of you that are listening to this message this morning, you should stop and say, no way. Amazing. John the Baptist and Jesus prophesied 700 years before they were born. Are you impressed? You should be. Seeing the truth of Scripture fulfilled comforts me. That God is real. It's proof. This is not mythology. God, we didn't create God in our image. He created us in His. We do not create God, we discover God. God exists, you discover Him. This is incredible stuff. That God is real and God is here. This chapter comforts me. Because it proves to my mind this is an intelligent faith, a provable faith that God exists. No other religion in the world does what the Scriptures do. The prophetic word of the Bible is unbelievable. So we could stop there and say, wow. But this chapter just begins. From this amazing truth, God begins to ask questions to humanity. God has questions He wants to ask you this morning. Do you like it when people ask you questions? Well, God wants to give you some questions this morning. Sometimes when I get to heaven, I have a lot of questions I have for God. I have a lot of things I like to ask God. And that's okay. This morning, God has some questions for you and I. Here's God's first question for you. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? Here's a picture for you of the ocean. Who's measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? Think about it. Or would the breath of His hand marked off the heavens or the sky? Who's marked off the heavens of the sky? God asks you. Who has held the dust of the earth in a blank in a basket? Or weighed the mountains on the scales? What do you think that weighs? And the hills in a balance. Do you know the answers to these questions? God's asking you questions. Do you know the answer to these questions? Well, the answer is not you. The answer is God. Listen to this. God has questions for you. Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as His counselor? Do you feel that you need to instruct God? That maybe God needs some counsel from you? Who did the Lord consult to enlighten Him? And who taught Him the right way? You? Who was it that taught Him knowledge? Do you teach God anything? Do I? Who is to show God the path of understanding? And the answer to these questions that God is asking you and I this morning is nobody. Because God's God. God knows everything. He understands everything. He sees everything. And we don't. Listen to this. God says, surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. And He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before Him, all the nations are like nothing. And they are regarded by Him as worthless. And less than nothing. It's a drop in a bucket's in Hebrew idiom. It's like, have you ever taken that last drop that you just almost have to shake? That last drop out of a glass, trying to get it out. Maybe you're trying to clean that glass. God says, that's all the nations of the earth. Dust does not weigh anything. If you're going to weigh yourself this morning and you know, oh, there's a piece of dust there. It doesn't even record it. These are insignificant compared to the glory and majesty of God. That's the point. The nations of the earth, they're insignificant compared to the glory and the majesty of God. Question for you this morning. God has a question for you this morning. With whom will you compare God? Are you going to compare God to somebody? What image will you liken Him? As for an idol, a metal worker casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A person too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. They look for a skilled worker, and they set up an idol that will not topple. This is a picture of an idol of the god Baal. It was found in Megiddo. And it's a Canaanite god or a Canaanite deity. Is this God? Really? This is pathetic. This is what the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob says. This is how you liken God? Pathetic. This is in the Jerusalem Museum. How small is God to us that we would craft an image out of our own hands and worship it as God? Please tell me you see how foolish this is. This is the point of God. What will you liken me to? Don't you realize who I am? Listen to this. God has a question for you. Do you not know? God says, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told from you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. How did Isaiah know that the world was round 2,700 years ago, long before Magellan sailed around the world? How did he know? Because God told him. God says, the people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy. The sky, the atmosphere, it's a canopy around us. And he speaks to them out. And he speaks to them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of the world to nothing. And he just had done that with the Assyrian Empire. He dealt with them in a beautiful way. God is sovereign. The rulers, no sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, that he blows on them and they wither away. And a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. He does this to nations and to kings. Read human history. God says this, Isaiah 40, 25 and 26. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Do you have an answer to that question? Think with me. Who's equal to God? Who's equal to the Holy One? Nobody. Nobody. Lift up your eyes. Look to the heavens who created all these. He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. When was the last time you got out of the city lights and was able to look up into the stars in the sky and see all the stars? Here's a beautiful picture of the Hubble telescope. These are actual pictures of the Hubble telescope, the galaxies. Lift up your eyes. Look to the heavens who created all these. This is an amazing picture. This one section of the Hubble telescope has recorded 500,000 stars. The Hubble telescope looks and takes this shot, and now they look at it and they go, there's 500,000 stars just in this area. And God says he knows each star by name and put them all in place. How big is God? How big is your God? How big is the one and only God? This is what God is trying to say to you and I this morning, as his people whom he loves. Look up into the sky and feel small. Look up into the sky and see that God is bigger than what you see. Be amazed. Comfort, it says, the very beginning, comfort my people. When you realize how big God is, do you find comfort? It's interesting. God, in the midst of this amazing chapter, he says these words. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. The people of Israel are saying, it's like God's not seeing my problems. It's like God doesn't seem to care. And God looks down and says, why would you say that? Why would you say that I don't care? That I just disregard your thoughts, your feelings? And God's saying, it's not true. It's not true. It's not true. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. How long is everlasting? It's forever. The creator of the ends of the earth will not grow weary or tired or weary. And his understanding, don't even try to fathom God's understanding. He's just above you. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, and he will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. I love this. And increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord or trust in the Lord, those who hope in the Lord, those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. What is God trying to say to you this morning in the 40th chapter of Isaiah? What is God trying to say to you this morning in the midst of a pandemic, a worldwide pandemic? What is God trying to say to you this morning? What is God trying to say to me this morning? Let's take notes with me. It's very important. God knows more than we do. God wants you to know this. Take notes. He knows more than we do. He sees better than we do. God understands better than we do. And FYI, God doesn't get tired like we do. What God is trying to tell you this morning is that He's the Lord God Almighty who created you, and He cares for you. He cares for you. There's a beautiful picture. If you ever go to Israel, the shepherds in the land of Israel put their sheep. When a newborn sheep is born, they put the sheep. The shepherd will grab a newborn sheep and he'll put the sheep around his neck and he'll just walk. And he'll talk the whole time that little baby sheep is around the shepherd's neck. And the reason why the shepherds do this in Israel is so that sheep will learn to hear the shepherd's voice. And it's beautiful. It's really amazing. Someday you might maybe travel with me to the land of Israel. Usually down around, it's funny, it's usually down around the Dead Sea area, or maybe up where in Bethlehem area in those fields. It's so fun. And our bus driver will say, oh, look, and here will come a shepherd, and he'll walk across, and the sheep just follow the shepherd. It's really cool to watch. In Israel today, that's how they shepherd sheep. The shepherd takes the sheep, talks and walks and lives, and the sheep grows up hearing the shepherd's voice. And one day when that sheep is grown up, he just follows the shepherd because he knows him. Do you see the tender care? Jesus says, my sheep will know my voice, and they'll follow me. The tender care of the shepherd. Keep that verse there, and I just want to read this scripture as you look at this picture. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him. His recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. Do you see it? He gathers the lambs in his arms, carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. This is the heart of Christ. Whenever I read the 40th chapter of Isaiah, I'm reminded of a time when I was a young father. So Sin and I had three boys and within 2 years of age. And Sin's job was to take the kids to get their shots. And I remember after one time she says, I don't want to do this anymore. The next time the kids need shots, you're going to take them. I said, okay. And I don't know if you've had the opportunity. When babies are small, their legs are all fat and just pudgy. And that's usually where the doc sticks them, you know, with vaccines and so forth. And I remember one day it was my turn, and Cindy had done it with Jonathan, and I think it was Jordan. I'm like, I'll take him to do the shots, and took him into Dr. Staz. He's our doc. Maybe he was yours too here in Irvine. And I remember holding down Jordan And he's looking up at me, and he's like, why are you doing this to me, Dad, while this doctor is sticking two needles in both of his legs? And he's crying, and Dad got a little wishy-washy myself. And he's looking up at me going, Dad, you're a good dad for the most part. You love me and trust me. You play with me. You buy me Legos and all this. Why are you holding me down while this guy's hurting me? He had no idea. I just needed him to trust me. This is for your own good. I understand more than you do. I see more than you do. I need you to trust me on this. I'm your dad who loves you. And do you think God sometimes is like that with you and me? Don't you think that's what Isaiah 40 is saying? See, sometimes in life, things are going to happen that we aren't going to understand. God wants you to know. He wants me to know that He's bigger than me. When I read Isaiah 40, I find comfort. That God is who He says He is. And His heart is for me. And He's really powerful and He's really strong. And He's going to take care of me. I believe that's what the Lord wants to speak to you this morning. God wants to say comfort to my people. Comfort to my people. That I am the sovereign Lord. I'm not asleep at the switch. I haven't been derelict in my duty as sovereign. I am God. Last note. God needs you to focus on Him. We need to focus on who He is and trust Him. We need to move from why to focus on the who. Why is all... Who is He? Why is all... Who is He? Why is this happening? Who is God? If we can move from why to who and focus on the who, you'll find comfort and rest. He's God. Comfort my people. I want you to, wherever you are, I want you to close your eyes this morning. And I want you to listen to these words from the Almighty God. Listen to this. Close your eyes. Listen. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. Listen. He gives strength to the weary. Are you weary this morning? God says He gives strength to the weary. And increases the power of the weak. Do you feel weak this morning? God will give you power. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fail or fall. But listen to what God is asking of you. But those who hope in the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord, those, it's a beautiful word. I'm waiting on the Lord in hope. Those who wait upon the Lord, those who hope in the Lord, will renew their strength. You want to know how I renew my strength? By reading the 40th chapter of Isaiah and meditating on it. When I put down the whys and I focus on the whos, I regain my strength. For my strength cometh from the Lord. Your strength cometh from the Lord. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and they will not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint, because they are focusing on the who. God. What one word descriptive words would you give for the time we're living in? What emotions would you say is the sea of emotions, this mixed emotions like a stormy sea? And yet then there's this anchor in the midst of the storm that you and I are in right now, this anchor. And it's the Almighty God that just holds us in place. The anchor is what keeps us firm and fixed. This anchor focuses my thoughts and my feelings and my emotions as I begin to look up and see who God is and remind myself once again who God is. I find that my emotions subside and I find strength and my weariness depletes because I'm focusing on the who. What God wants you to do, my brothers and sisters, focus on the who is God. You are around His neck. You are His sheep. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. As a matter of fact, He lays down His life for you. You are of an infinite value and worth to the Almighty God. God sees you today and He's with you. And yes, you might be going through a trial, a test, a crazy season of human history. And you might be looking up at God going, why? And He's looking down at you and He says, trust me. Trust in the Lord. God is in control. Can you just be reminded of that this day and find comfort? God is in control. Pray with me as the worship team comes up. Lord, I lift before You Your people. I pray, Lord God, for Your people this Sunday after Easter. I lift up those, God, that are weary. I pray for those, God, that are lonely. I pray for those, God, that are afraid. I ask, God, that You would bless them, that You would comfort them this morning, that You would give them peace. Help them, God, to focus their thoughts on the Almighty God. And in the midst of You, the who, may they find an anchor for their thoughts, their feelings, their emotions. And may, God, You bless them as You say You will. May they rise up during this days of this pandemic. And may they soar as an eagle, the wings of an eagle. May they soar in the storm because their strength is in their God. This is our prayer this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.